All right, so we start our third hour, and it is our final hour of the program and of the week. Lots to get done still yet, and I'd love for you to be a part of it. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, telephone number is, once again, I'm hammering this. I want you to use it. 1-800-636-8686. Our phone lines are open. We've had a really good program. We had Winthrop head basketball coach Pat Kelsey. As I mentioned, he was the right person at the right time with the right attitude. We had Raheem Mostert in hour number one, who I thought was great. We had an epidemiologist, Dr. Celine Gounder, as you might imagine. She was all business. Really good information from her. Neville Gallimore is going to join me in about 20 minutes. He is an NFL draft prospect and a defensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Also still ahead this hour, Alvy's week that was, the ATP, and more. I want to reset one thing, too. Going back to Rudy Gobert, it is hard to imagine, right, that it's only been 48 hours since that happened. That announcement came down, and when you consider all the news that's been nonstop, all the cancellations since then, it's not even 48 hours, and yet it feels like a lifetime because of everything that has happened since then. Since we learned that Tom Hanks and Rudy Gobert tested positive, the following things have happened. All of this has happened since Wednesday. The NBA suspended its season. MLS suspended its season. The NCAA tournament announced it would be played without fans. The PGA Tour announced it would play without fans. Donovan Mitchell tested positive. One conference tournament after another was canceled. The NHL suspended its season. The NCAA tournament was canceled. All NCAA winter and spring sports were canceled. MLB postponed opening day. Various states announced bans on large gatherings. The Champions League has been postponed. An entire soccer team was placed in quarantine for 2 weeks. The PGA Tour was put on hold. The Masters was postponed. The Boston Marathon was postponed. Charles Barkley self-quarantined and was tested and awaits the results. And that's just a brief rundown. That's the tight version. That's not everything. I know I've missed a number of other national, international, and regional events, but all of that has happened since Wednesday night. I mean, man, that is a lot to digest in a really small amount of time. So if you're feeling overwhelmed by all this, I don't blame you at all. And the news is still coming in. Yesterday, Adam Silver spoke with TNT. He laid out the conversations that led to the decision to suspend the league.
Essentially, the discussion was, should we attempt to play our games without fans in the arena? Arenas, would that be safe? Or we should take some sort of hiatus? And then the plan was for the league office to process that information and then have another discussion today and make a decision.
So once the shock wears off, the question, of course, becomes, how long is that suspension? According to reports, the league is thinking about reevaluating the situation in 30 days. Here are Silver's thoughts on that.
Of course, the issue becomes now, you know, what we determined today is that this hiatus will be most likely at least 30 days. I mean, and we don't know enough, as you've all said, to be more specific.
In other words, it is still too early to say, and that does make sense. It hasn't even been 48 hours since the league suspended play. And when you look at everything that's gone down in the past 48 hours, we have no idea what's going to happen in the next 48 or in the next week. So making any sort of determination about when to return to basketball at this point is way too early. And of course, what are the players supposed to do right now? Brad Turner of the LA Times tweeted, Lakers players had a conference call with Rob Pelinka, coach Frank Vogel, to update on NBA rules during the shutdown for coronavirus. No group workouts, only one-on-one workout with assistant coach or strength coach. Players can put time in. They want to work out. Another call Monday. End of tweet. That was then followed by this tweet. Quote, sources. Lakers players came away from conference call with GM Rob Pelinka, coach Frank Vogel, that NBA owners want to finish regular and postseason, even if it goes to late June, July, or August. End quote. And that's wild. The NBA in July. The NBA in August is definitely different. But then again, all of this is different. Different is the new normal. And then yesterday, Rudy Gobert issued a statement on Instagram. Gobert wrote, quote, I want to thank everyone for the outpouring of concern and support over the last 24 hours. I've gone through so many emotions since learning of my diagnosis, mostly fear, anxiety, and embarrassment. The first and most important thing is I would like to publicly apologize to the people that I may have endangered. At that time, I had no idea I was even infected. I was careless, and I make no excuse. I hope my story serves as a warning and causes everyone to take this seriously. I will do whatever I can to support, using my experience as a way to educate others and prevent the spread of this virus. He went on, quote, I am under great care and will fully recover. Thank you again for all your support. I encourage everyone to take all the steps to stay safe and healthy. Love. End quote. That's well said. Apologizing for being careless, not making excuses for it, wanting to take steps to educate people. In other words, don't be like me. Don't be careless. Don't make jokes about it. Like, there's been a rush in some quarters to vilify Gobert, to make him the bad guy, to blame him for all of this, like he's the cause of it all. Like, if Rudy Gobert had not joked around, if Gobert had not touched microphones on Monday, we would still have the NBA on Friday. We'd have Selection Sunday in 2 days. Everything would be normal. It's all his fault. Yeah, except nothing would actually be normal. We don't know how or when Gobert became infected. We don't even know if he's actually the first NBA player to be infected. We just know he's the first player that we know was infected. He's the first player to test positive. And that might say more about the availability of tests than it does anything else. And while getting sick is never a good thing, in a really weird, really strange way, it might have actually been kind of helpful. Because the announcements of Hanks and Gobert so close to each other finally made people stop and take notice. Health officials had been warning about coronavirus for a long time, but a lot of folks were either burying their heads in the sand or whistling past the graveyard. But Gobert's diagnosis and the NBA's action got people to stop and pay attention. Now everybody knows about coronavirus. And hopefully people are following the advice of health officials. And I am looking for your telephone calls. Now, in terms of the Buffalo tour stop, I know this is late in coming. I've got an official statement from the venue. And then I've got my official statement and my thoughts. From the venue, due to the spread of COVID-19, also known as the novel coronavirus, we have decided that it is best to postpone the upcoming show at Shea's Buffalo Theater on April 11th to a later date. We want to make sure everyone has an incredible night. But in order for that to happen, safety must be our main priority. All tickets will be honored for the new date. So stay tuned, and we will be updating everybody as soon as we can. That's the official statement from the venue. Here's my personal statement from me. I've been looking forward to this tour stop ever since we first started talking about it behind the scenes late last year. And your response to the announcement made me even more fired up. But given everything that has taken place in the last few days, proceeding with the event obviously would have been reckless and it would have been dangerous. And the last thing I want to do is put you at risk. So thank you very much. I cannot wait to see you all very soon. And we are looking for a new date. And we will update you as quickly as possible when we settle upon that date. So that's the latest with the toy stop that had been scheduled for April 11th. And that's now going to be moved to a later date. And we are efforting that date right now. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to the phones. We go to Houston. Jerome in Houston. Jerome, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, pretty fine, Vance Mack. I just wanted to kind of give you audience an update of kind of what we're facing. I'm a old, almost middle-aged, well, middle-60s dude. I work with a bunch of guys between their 60s and 70s, and we've been trying to think any time in our lives that anything like this came even close to the panic and everything this has caused. The only thing we could come up with, and we all went through the Vietnam War, civil rights movement, gas crisis, where there was some panic, all these things. But the only thing that we figured out came close to the panic of this was the Cuban Missile Crisis in 63. And, of course, I was a little kid. Now, some of these guys were older and remembered more, but we've never seen anything like this in our life. And about a week and a half ago, I was still kind of poo-pooing it, thinking, you know, is it real? I'm telling you, whether it's real or not, you better be prepared, because if they isolate you and you don't have what you need, you're going to be in trouble, folks, because every store, grocery store, drug store, supply store in the city of Houston, you cannot find a parking spot. And it's creepy. It's a little scary. And I would just say that, man, I can't believe it. We can't believe it. All those old geezers, we can't believe it. But apparently it's here, and I just hope that bad boy comes around. It takes me quick, because I don't want to suffer long. So I'm out, Rome. Thank you for the vine.
You got it, my man. Jerome in Houston. You never know exactly where Jerome's coming from or what he's going to say. You're right, Jerome. It is creepy. And it is scary. And it is here. And it's real. And it's not something I would be, quote, poo-pooing anymore. And shouldn't have been. I haven't been. I hope that you were here to hear the conversation I had with epidemiologist Dr. Celine Gounder. I did that for a purpose. I did that for a reason. And we addressed some of these things that people are, quote, poo-pooing. That it's not that big of a deal. That it's not any bigger than the common flu. That the common flu is not that big of a deal. She made the point that as many as 50,000 people a year in this country die from the flu. And if this is 10 times worse, then that number is 500,000 people. So what's there to poo-poo? When we come back, Neville Gallimore, NFL draft prospect and defensive tackle out of Oklahoma, is my guest. Wait for that. The perfect hire can have an impact on your business for years to come. So when you need to find the next person to help grow your business, LinkedIn Jobs will match the right talent with your open role quickly. LinkedIn has over 675 million members worldwide. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills that you're looking for. Things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and puts your job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. This is how LinkedIn makes sure that your job post is seen by the people you want to hire. People with the skills, qualifications, and other interests that will help your business grow. It is no wonder that a person is hired every 8 seconds with LinkedIn. And why companies rated LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. Find the right person for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just go to LinkedIn.com/Rome. 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 Terms and conditions do apply. LinkedIn.com/ROME.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. A lot of content A lot of show for you today. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a former Oklahoma defensive lineman. He was a first-team All-Big 12 player. 30 tackles, 7.5 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 2 forced fumbles last season. He won 5 Big 12 championships at Oklahoma. First Canadian player selected to compete in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl and the 2020 NFL Draft gets underway on April 23rd. Neville Gallimore is my guest. Neville, it's good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Good to visit with you. And I want to talk primarily about the draft. And, you know, I'm going to get there. In terms of preparing for the draft, though, and your time at Oklahoma, I want to start, though, really quickly with the coronavirus pandemic. I'm curious, it's impacting a lot of things, but how much is it impacting you and your ability to get ready for the draft and to meet with teams?
I mean, you know, obviously you understand this. It's a real big situation, but all you can do is, you know, take it day by day, making sure, you know, the hygiene is obviously continuing to be a top priority. But, you know, it's life. It happens. You know, you just got to – it was kind of hard to prepare for this type of situation, but, you know, you just got to handle it accordingly. You know, you got to make sure my focus is still, you know, obviously training however I can and just, again, making sure I'm in the best situation possible when that opportunity presents itself.
Neville Gallimore is my guest. So if we were to go back to the combine for a minute, I'm curious, what was the experience like for you personally? Was that fun? Was that stressful? Was it something else?
It was so much fun. You know, I look back at it, like this whole process has just been a surreal moment, you know, just looking back at the fact that, you know, 6-7 years ago, if you'd somebody would have told me, like, hey, Neb, you know, you get an opportunity to compete in the Senior Bowl and go to the combine, I'd have been like, there's no way. And, you know, to being in the situation I'm in right now. So, I mean, I love the process so far, you know. It has been really fun.
The NFL Draft is coming up on April 23rd. Neville Gallimore is my guest. You ran a 4.85 in your first attempt at the 40 at the Combine, which is a great time. And then you come right back and you run a 4.79 in your second attempt. The OU football account tweeted out the clip with the caption, "A very large man running ridiculously fast." How pleased were you with your performance in the 40?
I was really pleased. You know, I feel like it's one thing, you know, for someone to say that they're going to run fast or run a fast time. But, you know, just to see my training and stuff, you know, come alive, you know, it was great. You know, to be honest, I feel like I probably could have ran a little bit faster. But it was great. It was great, you know. I wanted to run a 4.7, and it happened.
You certainly did. Now, you had a really nice pro day as well. What was the pro day experience like, and what did you want teams to see when they watched you?
Well, I just wanted to see a big guy who's athletic, you know, a guy who gets after it. And again, just, you know, showing me, you know, being myself, you know, when it comes time to do drills, a guy that's just going to give max effort, you know, a guy who's just going to fly. So that's the biggest thing that I want to do, showcase my athleticism and, you know, show my power when the opportunity presents itself.
Neville Gallimore is joining us. Now, you grew up in Ottawa, Canada. What was life like for you growing up there?
It was great. I loved it. You know, even though I lived in Ottawa, Ontario, for most of my life, you know, my parents were born and raised in Jamaica. So I really, you know, I consider as myself, you know, Canadian kid living in the Jamaican household. And it was great. You know, a lot of my friends, my close friends and my family are back home. You know, you talk about, you know, the football in Canada compared to America, it was like night and day. But, you know, that's still my city. That's where I'm from. And, you know, I still love it.
All right, now, some of these stories are amazing. You got to help me with this. You're an unreal athlete in the sense that Bruce Feldman did his annual freaks list last year. You were number 2 on that list. He wrote that you bench 500 pounds, you squat 800 pounds, you clean 405. When did you first get into the weight room, and then how much does that strength and power help you on the field?
I want to say, you know, I started a little bit in the 9th or 10th grade, but I really got to, you know, give thanks to my parents for the genes. Because really, you know, once I started, as soon as I got in the weight room, it kind of became natural for me. You know, I enjoyed lifting. I enjoyed, you know, again, just attacking the weight room. And seeing as I know when I first started, roughly by the 9th or 10th grade, I just noticed that I was making a lot of gains pretty quickly. And, you know, especially going to the prep school, I was far away from home. So really, you know, when I wasn't doing football, I was just in the weight room. That was kind of like that helped me pass the time. So, yeah, it was really just a natural deal for me.
All right, so now we're not just talking about some crazy strong guy who can't move either. There's a legend that you were dunking when you were 13 years old. It seems almost too good to be true. So what kind of dunks are we talking about? Like, were you barely getting it over the rim, or was there some nastiness that you were throwing down with?
I mean, I wasn't, you know, windmilling or 360, but I was definitely, you know, throwing it down, you know, throwing it off the backboard, two-handed, one-handed. You know, I was right-handed, but I was also dunking with my left. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit and tell you, you know, I was doing windmills, you know, behind the back or, you know, tomahawk. But I was definitely throwing it down, though. It wasn't a rim scraper, whatever you call it. I was definitely throwing it down.
I love it. Neville Gallimore joining us. So, like, when you're talking about other sports, how much did other sports help you in football when it comes to athleticism and your footwork?
It definitely helped. You know, growing up, the first actual competitive sport I played was soccer. I did that for about 2 years. And then, you know, I played a lot of basketball growing up. You know, I really like football. You know, I started playing around the age of 9 or 10, but you know, I really didn't fall in love with it till the ninth grade. And during those times, I played a lot of basketball. So I feel like that helped me. You know, I was always a big kid, but I always had, you know, pretty solid feet. You know, I was one of those kids that, you know, unlike most big guys, I wasn't really worried about being the strongest. I was, you know, my thing was about being as fast as possible.
Neville Gallimore joining me for a few more moments. You know, I'm really curious about this because you ultimately left home to attend the Canada Prep Academy. What was it like to leave at home at a young age and live more than 5 hours away from home in order to pursue that dream?
You know, it was a little bit stressful at first. But the thing is, you know, that went away pretty quickly just because, you know, I knew what I wanted to accomplish. You know, I had a dream of, you know, trying to play Division I football, so I was willing to do whatever it took, you know, obviously to get there. So, I mean, it was a bit of a transition at first, but my high school coach, you know, Coach Jeff McCarthy, he did a really good job in making sure, you know, my mind was right, you know, and I knew what I wanted. I knew what my dreams were. I knew what had to be done, and that was just a part of the process. And I'm the kind of guy, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, you know, to get what I want.
Yeah, so what about that? Like, you've talked about the fact that there are not a lot of NFL players from Ottawa. I mentioned off the top that you were the first Canadian player to be selected for the Army All-American game. So what's it mean to you, and how much pride do you have in being a Canadian player who did have the ability to play at the D1 level?
You know, that was a big deal for me because, you know, the one thing that also kept me motivated during this process is understanding that, you know, it wasn't really just all about me, you know. It was about, you know, creating the standard or having a showcase and opportunity, you know, for guys who are also in my position. You know, guys that are talented, but, you know, again, just living in Ottawa that, you know, just need that outlet or, you know, be able to say, hey, like, look at me. Like, I'm a guy that's, you know, even though I'm from another country, you know, I can play too. So the biggest thing for me, again, you know, just knowing that, you know, I was basically, you know, setting a mark for, you know, future Canadian kids that have that dream and just basically showing, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from or background. If you love this game, you got passion for it, you know, it could do a whole lot for you. But, you know, I was really just more so happy that seeing my city behind me, you know, as I was able to do that. And even going through this process right now, it's really about obviously making my family proud, but, you know, even making my city.
Neville Gallimore, my guest. Before I let you go, you were part of an Oklahoma team that had a ton of talent, so I want to ask you about Jalen Hurts. What did you make of how he showed up as a transfer and became a part of that team so quickly? And then what kind of a player is an NFL team going to get when they draft him?
You know, the one thing that, like, I'll always say, you know, I don't think I've ever met a guy like Jalen in the sense that he's so team-oriented. You know, I remember the first thing that when he came down, you know, just spoke with the group. And even to add to that is, you know, it takes a lot for a guy to come to a program, you know, their last year and, you know, and definitely win the hearts of the teammates as well as the coaches in the short amount of time he did. But so team-oriented, you know. The biggest thing that, you know, I really appreciated about him is that, you know, his goals were never, like, for self. You know, it's all for the team. He wanted to accomplish things as a unit. And that's the one thing that he harped on, you know, and that was a big deal for me. So, you know, for those teams, they're going to get a guy who's hungry, you know, dog mentality, and a guy who it's not even he's not really competing with anyone else, you know, just competing with himself. He's just trying to be at his best by any means. And again, a great guy to be around, you know, a guy who just loves to work and a guy that, you know, you can lean on but a guy who's definitely, you know, who's wise beyond his years. So, you know, whoever gets the opportunity to have him on the team, they're getting a great guy.
You're a good teammate, dude. All right, so what do you think it's going to feel like when you have your name called at the draft and you know that you're going to go to an NFL team and the dream that you worked your entire life for becomes a reality? What do you think that's going to feel like?
I anticipate it's going to be the greatest feeling in the world, but, you know, obviously, you know, I've never been this far or been that far, so, I mean, I can't even tell you. I may cry, I may laugh, I may have a big smile on my face, but all I know is going to be positive, and the biggest thing, as long as I have my family with me, you know, it'll be great. But, hey, you know, it's so close, but it's also, you know, still a ways away. So, till then, you know, I'm just going to continue to put in the work, and, you know, God willing, when I get that opportunity, you know, I'll go from there.
Going to continue to do the things that put you in this position in the first place. Former Oklahoma defensive lineman, a first-team All-Big 12 player, first Canadian player selected to compete in the U.S. Army All-American Bowl. And again, the NFL draft gets underway April 23rd. Neville Gallimore, my guest. My man, great to have you on the show. Really nice to talk to you. Good luck with that. And I will be very curious to see where you end up living and working, and then I will run you down once again.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
That was fun. Really appreciate it, too. Thank you. All right, we will come right back. I think maybe kind of a preview of the way this is going to go. The games are going to stop for quite some time, and we got to come up with some content every single day. Granted, it's only Friday of the first week, but lots of good content for you today, and that is the goal going forward. Last segment of the show, end of the week, when we come back. In that segment, Albie's week that was, got the ATP and more. Phone lines are open also. And a quick reminder, wherever work gets done, Grainger is there with the industrial supplies, safety products, and time-saving services that you need to keep your business running smoothly. See for yourself when you visit Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. And now here is your bottom of the... You know, I've heard that song every single day that we've had this show for the past two decades plus. I've heard it so many thousands of times that I don't want to say it's white noise. It's just, it's a beautiful song, but I've heard it thousands of times. Something came up recently whereby maybe we do a deeper dive on that song. Do you know the song? Up All Night. Do you know the origin of the song? Do you know why we play that song? Do you know why we do that every single day at that point? You probably have heard it so many times you don't even think about it. Do you know who the band is? Do you know the story of why we play that song? Does the band know that we play that song? Do you know who the leader and icon behind that band is? It may all come together in the form of a podcast. I don't want to jinx it. I will tell you, there was a guy, and I do not know what happened to him. A tremendous guy. His name was Tom Perry. Still is Tom Perry. Wherever the hell Tom Perry is, my man. Tom Perry was a great guy that I used to work with and a really talented guy. And believe it or not, Tom Perry was the engineer of this show, and he was the one that came up with the idea to play Iggy Pop at the top or bottom. In fact, he was the guy that had GNR, Iggy Pop, and Boomtown Rats. The same guy. Not a sports guy. Tom Perry. So Tom Perry used to engineer it. He was great. He was the mastermind behind the early music on the program that decades later remains. And when we first started doing our tour stops, we'd go in and around Southern California, and he'd roll with me on all the events. We used to go to this one place in Orange County. It was called the Rose and Crown. It was a pub. And we'd go there on Monday nights. That was the first appearance I ever did. And he knew nothing about sports, Tom Perry. But he knew free beer and free food. So he'd roll with me from San Diego. Because part of our deal was they paid me. I'm trying to think back to what the appearance fee was back then. I would show up at this bar. And in conjunction with that, they'd run a schedule and we'd run commercials. And I'd be like, hey, yo, Van Smack here. Join me at the Rose and Crown. In, I want to say it was in, it was in, it, not I want to say, I know it was in San Clemente. We'd go up there on Mondays, and they'd give me like $50. My talent fee, I think, was $50.
Paper.
Maybe 75. And $75 plus a tab. And my guy, I'd be like, hey, Perry, you want to come with me? I don't want a road trip to San Clemente. He's like, hell yeah. Couple beers, couple of brats. Yeah, I'm with you, boss man. Let's do it. So that's the story behind that song in part, but the Boomtown Rats is the band behind it. And we may do a deep dive on that song and the history of that band for an upcoming podcast. Maybe. Keep it in mind. That's an Adam Hawk special, that one. ATP, Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. ATP. Hi, Jim. Cake or pie? Man, Bella B does it again.
I love when you talk hockey.
You love when I talk pie. Pie all day long. Pie over cake. That's a no-brainer, man. She's good at that. That's a really easy thing, the ATP. She's the only one who's figured it out, though. Killing it. What kind of pie? All kinds of pie.
The pie is getting smaller.
Pie v. cake. Pie all day long. That's easy. Key lime, cherry, apple, blueberry, rhubarb. Tell me one pie that's not good. Is there any pie that's not good? Talk to me, Ike. You shovel sugar into your hole. I'm trying to think of a pie. I'm not a huge peach pie guy. All pie's good. Except for rhubarb. Albie, are we ready? Roll it. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Bronze weekend was awesome. And the Lakers weekend was really damn impressive. Laker Nation, car flags up! LeBron clearly wants it now as badly as he ever has.
Yeah! Now here's LeBron. Got to the rim. Foul and a bucket. Game over. And look at LeBron. That's the dagger.
Lakers MVP chance at Clippers a Clipper game. No wonder teammates are putting crowns on his head and banging the table for him as the MVP. What a weekend for him. What a weekend for them. Dan Wojcicki.
If you can get yourself a diamond-encrusted Wells Fargo Visa card, Metro Carol has a guy.
Nice. That's good to know. Before they ban you from the locker room, I'd go right back in there and ask him for his pin. Craig Smith.
Man, I'm so fired up to be on the jungle again. You gotta forgive me, my boy is a bit of a train wreck right now. When I found out I was gonna be in the jungle Monday afternoon, so I'm pumped.
Adam Hawk, what is that around your neck?
He did it!
506.14. Clock don't lie.
He's an idiot. I love James, but he's an idiot. And after the clock starts, as Garrett yells in the background of this.
Is that his name, Garrett? He came in my office one day to talk to me. I'm like, why are you yelling at me?
I am!
Sorry!
Someone throws up a sign with David Goggins' face on it. And
my
it
man.
Just says, stay hard.
We're talking to Bob Melvin.
This wasn't a clubhouse thing. You got IT guys setting up monitors down in the tunnel and cameras shooting down to a catcher's signs, and now you have guys banging on trash cans.
We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
This isn't a clubhouse thing.
What's your beef?
Don't give me poor service because your place is packed.
Email.
My beef is with Office Sports Guy. You know the type. Come on. Kevin, back up the talk or shut it.
Smoking out that gopher.
Don't sell it like you have it and then double back with an email. Hey, by the way, we're sold out. Tell me that in the beginning.
Get yourself together and leave your stupid mangy mud at home.
Alohi Gilman is my guest.
You know, picking up after yourself, leaving the place better than how you found it. Kind of just a natural thing for me at this point. The way my parents raised me as well as where I was raised.
Steve Elkington joining us.
He didn't have any gut sling anymore. I mean, maybe that's Hefty's deal. He doesn't have the right gut sling. Mate, when I saw him hit those six chocolate eclairs in 2 minutes at Oak Hill, mate. He was unbeatable.
Timmy Jim.
Big time Timmy Jim's office here.
Luke Walton joining me for a few more moments. We're talking Kings basketball.
Alvin's doing a heck of a job.
Here, dude.
I like big putts, and I cannot lie. You other golfers cannot deny. That's when a birdie rolls in with an itty-bitty break, and your caddy yells, nice make. You get pumped.
Twitter.
My alligator arms don't tip none, so stick with that tiny sum, son. Sign Kucher. We're joined by Pat Chambers.
Jim, how you doing, brother?
The regular season, Pat, did not end the way you would have necessarily liked, but you do have a chance to reset.
You obviously have been doing this a long time. That's exactly right. Reset, reboot, recalibrate. New season, fresh start.
Let's go of his stick like a bat when he hit a home run like he got electrocuted. We are joined by Ice Cube. Cube, it's nice to have you back. How are you?
Man, Jimmy, you give me the best intros, man. I think I need to take you on tour, man. Bring me out on stage.
Done, man.
Yeah, man.
Casey Alexander is my guest. To what degree are you thinking about coronavirus and how that might impact the tournament?
I'm also not intelligent enough to know, to have my own opinion. I'm trusting those that are in charge. And if they say it's safe to play, then we'll use all the precautions that we can and show up and play. And if they make other choices, then we'll deal with that as well.
The NBA has decided to suspend game play.
As for the NBA, that was the plan all along. If a player tested positive, you had to pause the season. You absolutely had to. They had no choice. It was the right thing to do. It's surreal, and it is extremely serious.
Game tonight has been postponed.
We're talking to Howard Beck. We get the news that Rudy Gobert had tested positive for coronavirus.
This is not to demonize him, but it is a lesson to everyone that when public health officials and scientists are telling you this is serious, these are the steps you should take, this is how careful you should be, people should heed that.
This is people's lives.
I have 3 hours to fill every single day. What do I always say? Something to talk about. If there are no leagues and there are no games and there is no action, I don't have a whole hell of a lot to talk about. I'm the last guy banging on the desk to shut it down. Except you need to shut it down.
Far bigger than just men's basketball.
Pat Kelsey is my guest.
Hey, Romy, it's an unbelievable honor to be on. I'm a huge, huge fan. When the buzzer sounded, if there's a chance, I can get back on your show. So I'm a big fan.
Raheem Mostert.
Man, I'm on to the next journey in my life. You know, I'm on to the next chapter. I want to be a great back. I want to be a great player. I want to be a great husband, a great father. That's more important. And I want a gold jacket. That's all things I want.
I can't believe it. We can't believe it. All those old geezers, we can't believe it.
Dr. Celine Gounder, what steps would you recommend people take to do their best to keep themselves safe?
Stay home. Really keep yourself and your family at home. Wash your hands. Wipe down surfaces. Those are really the key things we need to be doing right now.
The playgrounds of Newport Beach.
I am so pumped to be on the jungle.
Mark in C-Town, big shout out to him.
I'll be back there on the boiler steamer making whoppers.
I wasn't, you know, windmilling or 360, but I was definitely, you know, throwing it down.
Oh, no!
You're all safe.
Everybody stay safe out there.
Clone to the bone!
Good night now!
Clone to the bone. Hey, Rome, you want content? Two words. Hack off. Boom. You're welcome. I didn't ask for your help. All of you asking for the hack off, you want the hack off. Tune into the show every single day. You get the hack off. Huge Call Day is sponsored by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card. It sends an alert to your phone, helps you fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not, what's in your wallet, see CapitalOne.com for details. Once again, I want to reiterate, due to the spread of COVID-19, we have decided that it's best to postpone the upcoming show at Shea's Buffalo Theater on April 11th to a later date. We want to make sure that everybody has an incredible night. But in order for that to happen, safety must be our main priority. All tickets will be honored for the new date. So stay tuned. And we'll be updating everybody as soon as we can. Also, refunds are available at point of purchase. I hate to have to do that, but it is the right thing. Postponing that. But we will work to get you another date. And work to get you that information as quickly as possible. And my apologies. All right, so I hope you enjoyed that program. More of the same. It's going to be a very interesting time going forward. But we are ready to take this on. I will be here every single day. And we're going to do what we do. I'm going to have a good quality show for you going forward. Every single day. With or without the games. My thanks to Pat Kelsey. Raheem Mostert. Dr. Celine Gounder. Neville Gallimore. The XR4TI. When you get a chance this weekend, check out episode 120 of the Jim Rome podcast with Grom.